Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chagiga daf Chaf Aleph, and we are beginning today the third perek, the last perek of Maseches Chagiga, the last perek in Seder Moed. And today we continue with a discussion of various halachas relating to Tumah and Tara, so not very easy Gemara. Today's shiur, first of all, is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very, very much for his continued sponsorship. So today we're going to start with a Mishnah. The Mishnah in the beginning of this perek is going to tell us either 11 or 10. We're going to see it's a machlokes in the Gemara, but some number of milo, some number of stringencies that we observe by Kodesh that we don't observe by Truma. And as we saw over the past couple of days, there are a number of different levels when it comes to conduct of Tumah and Tara. There are a number of different categories, and they start with the least chamerdik of Chulin, and then Meiser, and then Truma, and then Kachim, and then the ultimate is what we call Chatas, which is the Efer Para Aduma. So this Mishnah is going to tell us 11 different, or 10, again, we'll see, about 11 different halachas papashtas that are chumras that apply to kachim that don't apply to truma. We're then going to explain in the Gemara what certain of these chumros are, and that's going to take us a couple of days, but the Gemara today is going to focus primarily on the first chumra that is mentioned in the Mishnah and what exactly it means, and we're going to see it's a machlokas between Ravila and Rava, what that chumra actually means, and that's going to drive whether there are 11 different distinctions or whether there are only 10 different distinctions. So if it sounds like I'm speaking in code, this will all become clear by the end of today's shiur. And then we're just generally going to focus on explaining what exactly these chumras are. Over the course of the daf, we're going to encounter some fundamental principles or principles that are fundamental to Hilchas Tumah and Tara, and hopefully I will equip myself and do a decent job explaining. Again, these are very complicated topics, but luckily we've been refamiliarizing ourselves with some of these topics over the course of the past few days. So again, says the Mishnah in the beginning of the third and final perek of Maseches Chagiga and in Seder Moed, that Chomer Bakodesh Mi Betruma, there are a number of chumros that apply by Kodesh, but that don't apply by Truma. So Tosfos over here, before we even get to the list, Tosfos is bothered why we count only these 10 or 11 milos, why we only count these 10 or 11 chumras, and we don't count more. For example, before we even see the list in the Mishnah, you're going to have to take Tosfos' word for it for now, but Tosfos quotes a Rav Rabbi Chanan who asks, how come we don't mention that which we said a couple of days ago, that if you wash your hands, if you perform a Tilas Yadayim, and you have in mind that you're doing the Tilas Yadayim for Chulin, then it's good for Chulin, but it's not for Meiser. If you perform the Tilas Yadayim for Meiser, it's good for Meiser, but not for Truma. If you perform the Tilas Yadayim for Truma, it's good for Truma and not for Kachim. So that appears to be a Chumra of Kachim over Truma, right? That you have to have Kavana when you're being Notal Yadav for Kachim and not Truma. And Tosfos explains that the reason that this distinction, that this Chumra is not mentioned in the Mishnah, is because, as will come to light very, very soon, all of the Chumras that are mentioned in our Mishnah have to do with an actual concern of Tumah. They're really critical or they're key to halachos of Tumah and Tara, unlike the Tilas Yadayim, which you would perform in order to eat something b'tahara. There's no actual chashash Tumah that we're talking about when we mention Adaf Yud Ches, the concept of Netilas Yadayim. And we're going to concern ourselves, says Tosfos, on these 10 or 11 chumras that actually have what to do with actual halachos of Tumah and Tara. So again, says the Mishnah, Chomer Bekodesh Mi Betruma, there are some number of chumras, there are some number of milos by Kachim that don't apply by Truma. Number one, Shemat Bilin Kalim Betoch Kalim Letruma Avalo Lekodesh, that you're allowed to be tovel one kli within another for truma, but not for kachim. Rashi says these kalim are both tameh, and so you have to go to the kalim mikvah. Anybody who's gone to the kalim mikvah knows that it's a big pain in the neck, and men especially always seem to lose kalim in the bottom of the kalim mikvah. So he decides that he wants to simplify things for himself, so he's going to put one kli inside the other, and he's going to be tovel them together. And that works by Truma, but it doesn't work by Kachim. What this reason for this halacha is, whether it's because of chatzitza, we'll see, or whether it's because not enough mikvah water is going to come into the interior kli, is a machlokas between Rava and Rav Ila. And whose side you take in that machlokas is going to determine whether this Mishnah counts 10 chumras or 11 chumras. And we'll see how that plays out in the Gemara. But the first halacha, this cryptic halacha, we don't know the reason yet, other than that it's going to be a machlokas in the Gemara, is that you're not allowed to be tovel a kli betoch kli. You're not allowed to put one kli inside another and put it in the mikvah for kachim, but you're allowed to for truma. Says second halacha, v'toch acharayim v'toch ubeis hatzvita betruma, that the outside of a kli, the inside of a kli, and the beis hatzvita of a kli, we don't know what the beis hatzvita is, Rashi doesn't help us, the Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to explain what the beis hatzvita is, but all of those various parts of the kli are considered to be separate for truma, but not for kachim. And Rashi says, for example, if you have a kli that has utility that could be used both on the outside and on the inside and on the beis hatzvita, all of those portions of the kli have the halacha, have the status of a separate kli, le'inyan truma, to the extent that if one of them become tameh, if one of the parts of the kli become tameh, then the rest of the kli does not become tameh. Only that part that had direct exposure to tuma becomes tameh. That's if we are working with truma. However, if we're working with kachim, then we revert to the regular halacha of tuma and tahara, which is that if you have a kli, if you have one object, if a part of the object becomes tameh, the entire object is tameh. Rashi over here points out that when we talk about the kula by truma, that each segment of the kli has its own status, is its own self-contained unit, legabe tuma by truma, Rashi points out that we're obviously talking about tuma midrabanan. Because if we're talking about tuma daraisa, on a daraisa level, there's no such thing as part of a kli becoming tameh and the rest of the kli being tar. For example, we have a similar halacha by Tumas Yadayim, which we're going to talk about later in the Mishnah. There's no such thing on a daraisa level about somebody's hands being tameh and the rest of his body being tar. On a daraisa level, it's all or nothing. Either the entire thing is tameh or the entire thing is tar. But when we're talking about tuma d'rabanan, by truma, a special kula, if you have a kli that various parts of the kli could be used for different purposes, if one part of the kli becomes tameh, the rest of the kli will not become tameh. Okay, that's the second halacha. The third halacha, hanosei es medras, if a person carries something that is tameh betumas medras. Tumas medras is tameh. Let's say if you have a zav, and the zav is putting his or her weight on something, then that thing becomes tameh with tumas medras. So for example, if a zav sits on a chair while he's tameh, then the chair has tumas medras. If the zav walks in shoes, then those shoes have tumas medras because the shoes are supporting the weight of the zav. So if a person is carrying something which is tameh medras, so most simple case, he's carrying the shoe that a zav wore. So he's carrying the shoe in his right hand. No say as a truma, he's allowed to carry truma in his left hand. Now, when we say no say as a truma, it doesn't mean that he's allowed to carry truma stam in his hand. But Rashi points out he's allowed to carry tuma. He's allowed to carry truma rather in his other hand in a kli cheres. Why in an earthenware vessel? So why is he allowed to carry the truma in an earthenware vessel? Because what do we know about an earthenware vessel? An earthenware vessel can only become tameh if you touch the airspace, if the tuma enters the airspace of the vessel. It doesn't become tameh if you touch the outside of the vessel, only if you touch the airspace of the vessel. So even though this guy is literally carrying something that's tameh in his right hand, if in his left hand he's not carrying exposed truma, but he's carrying truma inside a klei cheres, that truma is already protected to an extent because it can only become tameh if the medrash goes inside the klei cheres. So you're allowed to do that by truma avaloas hakodesh. But if you're carrying kachem in a klei cheres, we're going to hold kachem to a different standard, to a higher standard, and therefore you're not allowed to carry the kachem inside a klei cheres if you are carrying tameh medrash in your other hand, even though the klei cheres can only become tameh if the medrash goes inside, and what are the odds of that? So we'll see in the Gemara that the odds weren't as slim as I'm making them seem now, but we're not going to see that today. We're going to see that tomorrow. So Fourth halacha, big day ochle truma medras lakodesh, that the begadim of somebody who is ragil in eating truma, who regularly eats truma, but doesn't regularly eat kachim, they are going to have the status of tuma, they're going to have a tame status, legabe somebody who eats kodesh. Because again, kachim is held to a higher standard. So this halacha really is reminiscent to the one that Tosfos mentioned earlier. This halacha is reminiscent to the one that we saw in Yud Ches, which is if you wash your hands for truma, it's not considered to be washing your hands for kodesh because you need a different kavana. This isn't totally on the kavana. This is totally on the different standard that somebody will adhere to. And therefore, the begadim of somebody who always eats truma are going, and we saw this in a mishnah a couple of days ago as well, the begadim of somebody who eats truma are not going to be tar. They're going to have a tame status, lagambe, somebody who always eats kodesh. Says the Gemara now, fifth halacha. So, lo kemidas hakodesh midas hatruma. The mida of kodesh is not like the mida of truma. In what sense? Sheba kodesh, that by kodesh, if you have a kli and you want to be tovel the kli, matir, you have to untie the kli. Umenagev, and you have to dry off the kli if it's already wet. And then umatbil, and then you can be tovel on the mikvah, v'achakach kosher. And then we're talking about a kli that was knotted, and therefore after you were tovel on the mikvah, then you could go and tie the kli again. Rashi explains that the reason for all of this is because of chatzitza. Because if there's a knot, let's say we're dealing with an article of clothing, if there's a knot in the clothing, then the knot is going to be tied tightly. We're afraid that water from the mikvah is not going to enter in between the knot, and therefore there's going to be a chatzitza. The mikvah water is not going to get over the entire beged. Similarly, Rashi says, if the beged is a little bit wet, then if it's wet, it's also sort of like a chatzitza, because we're afraid that if the beged is wet, then the mikvah water is not really going to get to the beged appropriately, and therefore you have to make sure the beged is untied and the beged is dry before you're tovel it, and after the tovel it, of course, you could go tie the beged again. That part is obvious. Ubetruma, however, kosher v'achakach matbil. However, by truma, you could tie the beged and then be tovel the beged. In other words, we're not choshesh for chatzitza to the same extent as we are by kachim. The Meiri says that if you don't even have to untie a knot in the beged, then certainly you don't have to make sure that the beged is dry before you put it in the mikvah. Because again, both of these were because of chatzitza, as Rashi explained. However, there's a much greater sense of chatzitza, there's a much greater concern of chatzitza when there is a tight knot in a beged than if a beged is wet. Like you wouldn't even, or at least I wouldn't even have thought that if the beged is wet, then that would cause a chatzitza, but it really does, because what if there are water drops? But certainly if we're not afraid of dumping a beged with a knot in it to a mikvah. For truma, certainly you're allowed to dump a slightly damp beged into a mikvah for truma as well. So that was chumrah number 5. Now, kelim hanigmarim betara, halacha number 6, that kelim hanigmarim betara, that vessels which are completed in a state of tara. And what does it mean that they were completed in a state of tara? So Rashi says that you were very careful to make sure that they don't contract tuma, and you started being careful before the gemar kli. Why? Because a kli, a vessel, can only contract tuma when it's experienced a gemar kli, when it becomes a kli. Before it becomes a kli, it doesn't have the status of a keli, and therefore it can't be a makabal tuma. So let's say you were fashioning, you're a tradesperson, and you were fashioning a kli, and you were having in mind that you were going to be very machmir from the time that it was close to becoming a kli. Still, trichen tvila lekodesh avalola truma. Then let's say you want to use that kli for a purpose. Does it require tefillah? It depends for what the purpose is. If you want to use it for truma, then no, it doesn't require separate tefillah because you were already careful. You were mindful that it not become tameh while you were completing the process of making it into a kli. However, by kachim, even though you were already mindful and even though you were already careful and you know that you were tar, still it requires a special tefillah before it's used for kachim. That is the sixth chumrah that applies by kachim, but that doesn't apply by truma. Number 7, Hakli mitzaref masha betocho lo kodesh avalo litruma. A kli can combine the contents of the kli for kodesh, but not for truma. And Rashi says, let's say that there are many pieces of food inside a kli, and somebody who is tamei or something that is tamei touches one of the pieces of food, then by kachim, the fact that there are many pieces inside a single vessel, the vessel will combine everything for the purpose of tumah, and everything in the vessel, everything in the kli is going to be tumah. That's by kachim. However, by truma, we are not going to extend the tumah of one chaticha of food to all of the other chatichas of food, and therefore, we're going to view them as individual units for truma, but we're going to view them as a combined unit for kachim. So that was chumr number 7. Chumr number 8, haravi b'kodesh pasul v'ashlishi b'truma. So chumr number 8 is halacha that we're already well familiar with, and there were different categories of tuma that descend in order of stringency. So there's an avia vosa tuma, then there's an ava tuma, there's a rishon, a sheni. That's where the buck stops by chulin. Chulin cannot become a shlishi. Truma can become a shlishi, but can't become a ravi. And kachim can become a ravi, but there's nothing after a ravi. So the halacha that the Mishnah says, the eighth halacha, or the seventh halacha, rather, is that there is a revi level by kachim, but not a revi level by truma. There's only a shlishi level by truma. So, betruma em nitmes echas meyadav chavarasa Torah. By truma also, if one of your hands becomes tameh, then your other hand is going to be tar. And Rashi again says that this is obviously talking about a tumah midrabanan, because as we said previously, by a tumah daraisa, there's no such thing as partial tumah. It's either all or nothing. Either your entire body is tamei or none of your body is tamei. So, and then uvakodesh matvil shneim by kachim, you are matvil, you have to be tovel both of your hands. Why? Shayad metame es chaverta bakodesh avalo betruma. Because one hand is going to be matame, the other hand by kachim and not by truma. Next chumra, ochlin neguvim biyadayim es avos betruma. You're allowed to eat dry food with contaminated hands by truma. Sen Rashi says, why you were allowed to do this? Because the yadayim esu avos are shnios, and even though the yadayim that are contaminated are a sheni latoma, and truma can become a shlishi, so why are you allowed to do it? And the key, says Rashi, is because the Mishnah told us that it was ochlin neguven, because it was dry food. What do we know about food? Food needs to be hochshar lekabel tuma in order to become tamei. It has to be primed with a liquid in order to become tamei, v'chiyutan mayim al zera. And because this food is dry, it's not hochshar lekabel tuma. Because it's not hochshar lekabel tuma, we're not afraid of you eating the truma, even though you have contaminated hands, avaloba kodesh. However, not by kodesh. By kodesh, we're not going to take that risk. And even if the kodeshim has not become hochshar lekabel tuma, you're still not allowed to eat it if it's dry with dirty hands, with contaminated hands. And then the final halacha in the Mishnah, onein mechusar kippurim, if you have an onein, and Rashi points out that we're obviously talking about an onein who is not tamei meis, because if you have an onein who is actually tamei meis, well then it's obvious that they require tevila before they eat anything, because then they're really tamei. But we're talking about an onein, stam, somebody who experienced a loss, and he's in the period of aninas, but he wasn't metamei to his mace. Umechusar kippurim, or a zav, who has already completed his tahara process after the seven nikiyim, after the shiva nikiyim that he has to count, and then he went to the mikveh, and he has harav shemesh. The next day, he's called a mechusar kippurim. Why? Because he hasn't brought his karban. So in other words, he's completed his purification process, but that he's no longer tamei, but he hasn't yet brought a karban. So an onein and a mechusar kippurim, tzrichim tefila lakodesh, they need tefila before they eat kachim, avalo litruma, but they don't need tefila before... They don't need tefila before they eat truma. The Rashi points out that the tefila that they require for kachim is after he brings his karban. If he wants to eat kachim, he's going to have to be tovel again. The Gemara is going to explain, why does he have to be tovel again? The guy was just tamei, now he's tar. He brought a karban. What are you hacking him with tefila again? But again, we'll see exactly the reason for this in the Gemara that follows. So says the Gemara now. So we had a list of 11 or 10 things in the Mishnah, chumras that kachem have that don't apply to truma. The first one on the list, you'll recall, was that by truma, you're allowed to be tovel kli betol kli. You're allowed to take one kli, put it inside another kli, dump them both in the mikvah, and that's effective. However, by kachem, it doesn't work. Says the Gemara, why not? Bekodesh my time alo. Why doesn't it work by kachem? So I'm a Rav Ila. This is the Rav Ila that I mentioned earlier. Mimnesha kveido shel kli chotzeitz, because the weight of the inner kli is going to serve as a chatzitza. And Rashi points out the weight of the inner kli that's sitting on the outer kli in the mikvah is going to be chotzeitz, because the mei mikvah, the waters in the mikvah, are not going to be able to get in between the kelim. And this is going to cause a problem both for the small kli and the large kli, because the outside of the small kli is sitting down, the weight is sitting down on the inside of the large kli. And if we're worried about a chatzitza, we're worried that the water is not going to get in, then the small kli is not going to be tovled correctly, and the large kli is not going to be tovled, and the large kli is not going to be tovled correctly, and the large kli is not going to be tovled correctly either. Now there happens to be a machlokas in the Rishonim whether the chshash of Rav Ila applies only by heavy kalim, or if it applies even by kalim that are not heavy. So the Bartanura explains that the chshash of Rav Ila applies only by very heavy kalim. Why? Because the stated reason for the issue, the stated reason is because of chatzitzas, because the weight of the kli. So it makes sense, says the Bartanura, that we're only going to be gozer when we're dealing with a heavy kli. But when we're not dealing with a heavy kli, then we have nothing to worry about. By truma, we're not afraid of this. Why? Because we assume that the person who's doing the tefillah, the person who is toveling these kelim in the mikvah, is a chaver, and he knows the dinim of chatzitza, and therefore we're not afraid that the weight of the inner kli on the outer kli is going to form a chatzitza. However, by kachem, we're not going to be somech on the fact that the chaver knows what he's doing, and therefore we're always going to be afraid of, and therefore we're always going to be afraid of chatzitza by kachem. However, there are others who explain that no, that there's a low plug here. In other words, if there's a chshash of chatzitza by a heavy kli, then the gzeira of Rav Ila would apply even by a light kli, because it's gazru ha'atua, right? It's like a low plug, because if we see that you're allowed to be tovel a small kli, a light kli inside a larger kli, then they're going to come to be tovel even a heavy kli inside a larger kli, and then we're going to have a problem of chatzitza. So there are those Rishonim who argue with the Bartanura, who say that this gzeira applies even by a light kli as well. Okay, so says the Gemara Viter. So again, Rav Ila says the reason that you're not allowed to be tovel kli betol kli is because of chatzitza. Says the Gemara, one second, v'amid seifa mishum chatzitza. But later in the Mishnah, we have a halacha that is focused on chatzitza. That was the halacha where, let's say, you have a beged with a knot in it. Do you have to untie the knot? Do you have to dry off the beged before you put it into the mikvah? We said by kachem, yes, by truma, no. That halacha has to do with chatzitza. So we're having a whole list of chumras, manners in which kachem are more chamor than truma. I'm going to have two halachas in the Mishnah that are telling me about chatzitza. It should be, if l'chora, it's the same halacha. But if the case of the knot in the beged is talking about chatzitza, so the reisha, so the first case in the Mishnah of the kli betol kli mistama, is not talking about chatzitza. Diktani seifa, because we learn in the seifa, v'lo kamidas hakodesh midas hatruma, shebekodesh matir uman givu matpil v'yakarcha kosher, that by kachem you have to untie the knot, you have to dry off the beged, then you're tovel in the mikvah, and then after that you retie the knot. To v'truma, however, by truma, kosher v'yakar kach matpil. By truma, you don't have to untie the knot. You could tovel it in the mikvah, even with the knot in the beged. So says the Gemara, reisha v'seifa mishum chatzitza. Yeah, you're right. The reisha and the seifa, according to Rav Ila, are both teaching me dinim and chatzitza. So even though, according to Rav Ila, the reisha is talking about chatzitza, we're still going to count it separately in the Mishnah. Why are we going to do that? Says the Gemara as follows. Vitzricha di yashmina reisha, because if you only would have taught me the case of the reisha of kli betol kli, hava mina hainet taima de la kodesh lo, the reason why it doesn't work for kachem is mishum kvedo shel kli. Deika, it's because the inner kli is putting its all its weight down on the outer kli, and therefore there's like a real problem of chatzitza, it would seem. Aval seifa de leka kvedo shel kli. However, by the seifa, by the case of the beged with a knot in it, because the chatzitza is not as apparent, because it's not like there's a heavy kli resting on another kli where it's obvious that no water is going to come between the two kalim and there's going to be a chatzitza problem. But in the seifa, where we're not dealing with a heavy kli, emel kodesh nami lo havi chatzitza, I might think that for kachim, it's also not a chatzitza. The yashmin and seifa, on the flip side of the argument is as follows. If we only would have been taught the case in the seifa of the beged with a knot in it, hava mina hina time is ila kodesh lo, I would have thought, what's the reason that it's not good? It's not a good tefillah for kachim. Mishum, turning over to chaf aleph from a beis, mishum de kitra b'maya duke midak, because the knot adheres very tightly in the water, and therefore, as Rashi says, it's karav l'chatzitza, it's much closer to being a chatzitza. Aval reisha demaya akfuye makfule lemane lo avi chatzitza. However, by the reisha, I might think it's not a chatzitza. Why would I think it's not a chatzitza? I were dealing with a heavy kli that's sitting on top of another kli. Because what do we know about kalim when we put them in water? They float. They're buoyant. A ship is also heavy and it floats in the water. So therefore, I might think that because we're not dealing with a knot, which is very, very tight, therefore the seifa is more of a chatzitza. It's more of a chash chatzitza than the reisha. So therefore, we need these two cases. Tzricha. Therefore, we need both of these cases. So according to Ravila, again, the reason for the first case in the Mishnah of Kli B'tol Kli is an issue of Chatzitza. We have another case in the Mishnah that also talks about Chatzitza. Yes, but each one teaches us a Chiddush. And says the Gemara, Rav Ila L'tamei, and Rav Ila goes according to his own reason. This is Rav Ila L'shita So. Di Amar Rav Ila, Amar Rav Chanina Bar Papa, Eser Malos Shanukan. Because Rav Ila says, in the name of Rav Chanina, this is what I kept referring to in the beginning of this year, there are only 10 chumras in the Mishnah, not 11. There are 11 cases in the Mishnah. Why are you telling me that there are only 10 chumras? Now I understand, because two of the chumras mentioned in the Mishnah are talking about chatzitza. So therefore, we're not going to count them separately, because when we're talking about different categories of chumra, it makes sense to count these two cases as a single case, because they're both telling me halachas about chatzitza. Now, chamesh rishonos bein lekodesh bein lechulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. There are five of these halachas. The first five halachas in the Mishnah apply not only to kachim, but also to chulin, which are nasa al taras hakodesh. We saw yesterday a machlokes, or we saw yesterday a question in the Gemara, whether chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh has the status of kodesh itself or not. So what's chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh? Again, it's somebody who, even when he's eating chulin in his house, has in mind to abide by all of the stringencies that have to be maintained when one is eating kachim. And a person would do that because he wants to train, Rashi told us, he wants to train his household to be familiar with kachim, to make sure that when there is kachim in his house, that it's not contaminated. So the first five halachos, we were talking about in our Mishnah, the distinctions between kachim and truma. However, now the Gemara is saying that the first five halachos apply not only to kachim, but also to chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, achronos lekodesh avalo lechulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. However, the last five halachas in the Mishnah apply only to kachim itself, not to chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. So the chulin, which has this elevated status, because you yourself abide by all of these chumras, those last five halachas in the Mishnah do not apply to chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. Says the Gemara, what in the world is the basis for this distinction? There's got to be a principal basis, right? So my time up. So what's the reason? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you. Chamesh kamaisa, the first five cases in the Mishnah, the isle drara de tumah midaraisa. There is a concern of tumah midaraisa. Gazru be rabbanon bein lekodesh bein lechulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. The rabbanon were gozer that those five stringencies apply both to actual kachim and Techulin Shanasa al Taras HaKodesh, because there's a chash, there's a concern of actual Tuma Midaraisa. However, Basraisa, the less Ludrar de Tuma Midaraisa, the last five cases in the Mishnah where there is no concern of Tuma on a Daraisa level, Gazru Rabbanan LaKodesh, Lechulin Shanasa al Taras HaKodesh, La Gazru Barabbanan. The Rabbanan were only gozer by Kodesh, but not by Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh. So what does this mean? Drara de Tuma Midaraisa, the five first cases, yes, the last five cases, no. So luckily we have a Rashi here who explains everything for us. So let's see this Rashi inside, because it's fundamental to the understanding of what we just said in the Gemara. So Rashi over here says, Drara de Tuma Midaraisa. Chash Tuma Daraisa. Drara de Tuma, Drara means a concern. A concern of Tuma on a Daraisa level, such as, first case in the Mishnah, Kli B'toch Kli. So that was, according to Rav Ila, a problem of Chatzitza. Let's say you have something which is Tumei on a Daraisa level, and it requires Tfilah B'mikvah. If there's a real Chatzitza, that's going to be a problem. So says Rashi, Chash Tuma Daraisa, Kli B'toch Kli, Iika Chatzitza Tuma Daraisa Hi, that if there is a Chatzitza by a Tuma Daraisa, that is a real problem. Second case, acharayim v'toch, that the various parts of the kli are treated separately for truma rather, but not for kachim. So afal gav de bekelim shenitmu achora b'mashkin de tumah drabanan hi. Even though you'll recall, right, this is Rashi Lishitasa, because Rashi had said that we're talking about tumah drabanan, because on a deraisa level, once a kli becomes tumah, the entire thing is tumah. Only on a drabanan level. Are the parts of the kli viewed differently, and how can a kli become tamei midrabanan? Because it becomes tamei with tumas mashkin. If it's become tamei with tumas mashkin, why is it a chash tumah midaraisa? So Rashi says, because there's a mashkin which is tamei midaraisa. So even though Rashi says that this case happens to be talking about tumah midrabanan askinan, miu hada amar rabanan mashkin mitamin kli. The reason that the Rabbanan say that Mashkin could be Metamei Akli is Mishum Gzeira de Mashke Zav Zavahu, Kigon Roko Meme Ragla Vahani Metamei Akli Midaraisa. So this is a little bit of a stretch, but the reason that the second case in the Mishnah, the various parts of the Kli being separate entities for Truma but not for Kachim, the reason that that has a Drara de Tumah Midaraisa, says Rashi, is because what are we talking about? We're talking about a Kli that became Tumah with Mashkin. Why with Rabbanan goes there that Mashkin is Metame Kli? It's because there is a Mashkin which is Metame Kli, which is Metame anything, even on a Daraisa level. And what's that? That's the roke of a Zav. That's the spittle of a Zav. So there is a concern, there's a connection to Tumah Midaraisa by the second case in the Mishnah. So ubetuma daraisa in chiluk bekli shataf bein acharayim letocho shabakom makom shatuma nagaspo nitmakulo. So Rashi points out over here the obvious, which is what we've been saying the whole time, that if it really were to come to pass that a kli would become tummy with an actual tuma daraisa, then we wouldn't play these games about the parts of the kli being tar, even though the other part is tummy. If it was an actual tuma daraisa, once the part of a kli is tummy, the entire thing is tummy. Just, we happen to be talking about a tuma drabanan, but Rashi's point is that there is a mashkin which could be metami a kli on a daraisa level. Third case in the Mishnah, Noseas a medris nami. The third case was the case where the guy was carrying medris in one hand and truma inside a klei cheres in his other hand. There's also chash tuma midaraisa. Yik the mefarish b'gemara ma'isa she nafla ritzua sando lavir chavis. Because the Rashi says the Gemara is going to tell us in tomorrow's daf, the reason that we're afraid is because there was a Maisa Shahaya where somebody was carrying the middle of a Zav and the strap of the shoe actually fell into the inside of the Klei Cheres, and that is Tamei on a Daraisa level. Big Day Ochle Truma Medris Lakodesh, the fourth case. The begadim of Ochle Truma are Tamei Medris. They're considered to be Tamei Medris Lakodesh, Shebe Yashvaleim Ishtonida, Chashta Medaraisi, because maybe his wife, who's a Nida or a Zava, sat on this thing, and therefore that's a Tuma Medaraisa. Kelim Adigmarim Bitahara, Mishum Tsinore Dama Aretz. Ben, the reason that we're afraid, the reason that they require an extra tvila for kachim is because we're afraid that the spittle of an Ama Aretz fell on it, and Shemazavu, maybe the Amaretz is a Zav, and a Zav is Tamei mi d'oraisa. And then finally we have, and then we add the other case of chatzitza as well, which also is a drora tuma midaraisa. Because if there's a tuma midaraisa and there's a real chatzitza, then there's going to be a problem. So the first five cases in the Mishnah that talk about, that have a concern of tuma daraisa, the Rabbanim were going to be gozer not only for kachim, but also chulin shenasu al tarasa kodesh. The last case is in the Mishnah, which don't have a drora de tuma midaraisa, they apply, those stringencies apply only to kachim, but not to chulin shenasu al tarasa kodesh. So why do I say that the last cases in the Mishnah do not relate to a concern of tuma midaraisa? Because case number six was a kli being mitzaref, everything that's inside. So the concept of tziruf kli is only in midrabanan, because on a daraisa level, we're going to look at each chaticha separately. The next case was talking about shlishi betruma and ravi bekodesh. That is only talking about those levels of tuma are only tuma on a derabanan level. That happens not to be shitas tosfos, but everybody except for tosfos holds that tuma is only midrabanan. Eating truma or eating food with tame hands, again, that is a derabanan dikatuma. Why? Because what have we said the whole time? That the whole concept of your hands becoming tame is a derabanan, because on a deraisa level, either your whole body is tame or not. And the onin mechusar kipurim, that obviously is not talking about a chash tuma daraisa, because we had said the onin that we're talking about is not even somebody who was matame lemeso, and the mechusar kipurim is not tame at all. So therefore, the first five cases of the Mishnah where they relate even tenuously to a chash tuma midaraisa, they're going to apply not only to kachim but also chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. The last five cases in the Mishnah which don't apply, which don't relate to a chash tuma midaraisa, those will apply only to kachim, not to chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. This was Rav Ila Shita, that the reason for the first stringency in the Mishnah was because of chatzitza. Now we have the shita of Rava. Rava's cholek. Rava amar mi the seifa avim mishem chatzitza. Reisha la mishem chatzitza. No. The reisha, the kli b'tol kli, is not an issue of chatzitza, because we already have a case later in the Mishnah that tells us about chatzitza. What do I need two cases in the Mishnah that tell me about chatzitza? Says the Gemara of a reisha hainu taima. Why then is it there a problem of kli b'tol kli? Gzeira shla yatbil machtem vitzinoros bekli. The gzeira, the kli b'tol kli, is lest you come to be tovel a needle and a spinning hook, which are kalim, inside another kli, she'ein befiv k'shvaferes hanod, where the opening of that outer kli is not even as wide as a, is not even as wide as a skin bottle's tube. So, and if it's not as wide as the skin bottle's tube, Rashi says that's not a tvila, because the not enough water is going inside the outer kli to get to the inner kli, and therefore it's not as if the mechat, it's not as if the needle in the inner kli was even tovel if in the mei mikvah, because we're afraid that you're going to stick very tiny kalim inside a kli whose opening is itself very small, not enough mikvah water is going to get in. Kiddithnan, like we learn as follows, Erev mikvos, if you need to connect mikvos, then if you want to connect mikvos, because, for example, you have one mikvah with less than 40 sas, so you want to connect it to a kashra mikvah that has a shir mayim, is kshvaferes hanod, the opening between the two mikvahs has to be kshvaferes hanod, ka'ovya ukhalala b'shtei asparos chozros l'mkoman, and that it has to be the size of its thickness and its width have to be so that two fingers can be rotated in the opening. The Rambam says that we're not talking about the thumb, but we're talking about the forefinger and the middle finger. So you have to be able to rotate your fingers inside the shvaferes hanod. That will be a big enough conduit to allow the two mikvos to be connected to one another. That will be a big enough opening to allow the mikvah water to get in the outer kli, so that the inner kalim are going to be considered as having been dipped into the mikvah. And that is the problem with the kli b'tol kli. So says the Gemara. Let's just finish up. Savar la kahad, Amar Rabbi Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Yud Aleph Malo Shanu Kan. So according to Rava, there are 11 stringencies, not 10, because the first case is not talking about chatzitza. The first case, the issue is talking about whether enough water is getting into the mikvah. So it's getting into the inner kli, rather. So there were 11 stringencies. Sheish Rishonos, Bein Lekodesh, Bein Lechul Nechonasu, Al Taras HaKodesh. First six in the Mishnah apply both to Kachim and Tuma and Chulin, which is Nasa al Taras HaKodesh, and the Achronos LaKodesh, Avalol LaChulin Shanasa al Taras HaKodesh. And the last, and the last five apply only to Kachim, but not to Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh, because there is no Drara Tuma Midaraisa. This case, the first case of the Kli B'tol Kli, obviously there is a Drama Tuma Midaraisa, because if you have something which is something in a Daraisa level, and you're going to dip it into a mikvah, but not enough mikvah water is going to get in, then that thing will never become tar, and therefore there is a connection, there is a concern of Tuma on a Daraisa level. So that's the Machlokas, Rav and Rav Ila. We'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll continue discussing the Nafkaminas between the Shita of Rava and the Shita of Rav Ila. Everybody have a wonderful day.